We have taken the book of Acts over the last 4 years. We've broken it up and we've studied through the first three sections, and now we're in the middle of the last section of the book of Acts, Acts 20 to 28. If you have a big picture of Acts, you know that this last section zooms in on the Apostle Paul and his journey back to Jerusalem and his testimony to the gospel, and then all the trouble that comes with that. He eventually ends up in Rome, and we believe that the end of his life was taken, at the end of his life, it was taken from him by the emperor because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we call this section of Acts, Go Strong, because Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's where Paul is going, to the ends of his earth, to the ends of civilization as they knew it. So if you look on that chart, it says, go strong. And then there's just a little sentence that says, taking the Father's story to the ends of the earth. Do we believe that that is still Christ's command to us today? Amen. If not, my goal is that we would be convinced of that as we learn from the life of the Apostle Paul. This is God's word that's been given to us to challenge us, to encourage us, to exhort us, to correct us, that we might be in alignment with the will of God. And I believe with all of my heart, I'll stake everything on it, that God's will for his church is still to take the message of the gospel, God's grace to the ends of the earth. And that starts right here in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to Carmichael to Sacramento County, and as God allows us, to the ends of the earth. Okay, if you're new here, it's okay to say amen. If we're slow and we're not catching on, I'll just kind of pause. That's your cue to... My friend Malulu will always back me up, so thank you, brother. It's still God's will for us to take the message of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And that's what we're learning. Hey, that's what we're learning from the Apostle Paul. We're learning from his life, what it looks like to go strong. Now, Jesus never promises us that going strong is not going to be difficult, or that we're not going to resist some resistance. We're not going to face some resistance. That we're not going to face some storms. We know what storms are, right? Figuratively and in reality. We have a new puppy in our house. I don't know what I was thinking, but we haven't had a dog for a while, and I love dogs, and so we got a puppy. We have a little German Shepherd, and we have a little crate. Yeah, you can say, aw. Her ears. I didn't realize this about German Shepherds. This is not in your notes, so don't take any notes. You know, they look like labs. Their ears are just kind of floppy. And I was kind of worried. I thought, man, I got a lemon of a German Shepherd. You know, it's like just hanging down there. But about a week ago, one of them started like halfway going up. And now both of them are like halfway up. And so they're on their way to where the cartilage is. And at some point, you know, they're going to be standing up. She's adorable. But we have her in a crate. She's in her room. And she makes it about halfway through the night before she has to... Don't say that in church. We can't say potty in church, can we? All right. She needs to go potty. She needs to go to the bathroom. So she just goes, and she's right there. And so I look, and I can see her looking at me, and I take her. So I went out last night about 3:30 in the morning. I don't know how many of you were awake at 3:30, but I'm telling you, last night at 3:30 in Citrus Heights, there was a storm. You warned us about the winds, Matt. Man, it was, I'm looking at all these trees, and my neighbors, I go in the back, and they're fighting for their life. And I'm just standing there at 3:30, and my mind goes to this, and I'm thinking, okay, this is a storm. This is a weather storm. Just as real are the storms that we face in our lives spiritually, the things that are pushing up against us, and they're just as real as that wind that was blowing against that tree. God doesn't tell us that we're not going to face storms. In fact, the idea of going strong kind of implies that we got to really go strong, because there's going to be times where it's not going to be easy. And if we're kind of halfway in, if we're kind of halfway committed to going, chances are really good that you're going to stop going at some point. In fact, I believe one of the biggest challenges for the church, not just Crossroads, but for the church today, is to not get discouraged, or not to get angry or bitter at the storms that are going on around us in life, and kind of just stop going. We stop going across the street. We stop going to our neighbor. We stop engaging the person that is handing us our cup of coffee. We stop going across the cubicle. We get together with our family at the holidays, and we stop going across the table. You with me? Sometimes it's like, you know what? Oh, It's discouraging. And I'm concerned that as the church, there's a very real temptation that we would stop going. God's calling us to go strong. That's what we're seeing in the life of Paul. We're going to see it again this morning, what it looks like to go strong. This morning, particularly, going strong into a storm. Now, who in their right mind would run into a storm? A very few people. You know those storm chasers? Have you ever seen those guys? Last night, I was outside, and I had no desire whatsoever in my shorts and T-shirt to be running around in the backyard going, woohoo, in the storm. I had zero desire. I just wanted to go back in, climb into my bed, put the covers back up, back over me, and go back safely to sleep. And yet, let me suggest to you that in obedience to going, go and making disciples, it's going to include going strong right into storms. Sounds a little crazy, doesn't it? It's a little bit crazy. About 3 years ago, we began to look at the storms that were happening in our world and what was going on in our lives, and we came up with 7 investments, and I want you to take out your study notes that are on the top of your study notes this morning. There's 7 investments that we looked at and said, you know what, if we're going to thrive, if we're going to keep going, if we're going to be intentional as the church of Jesus Christ, if we're going to make disciples in the day that he's put us, we need to intentionally invest in some key areas. And they're listed there for you. There's 7 of them. The first one is that we will worship God in ways that unveil his glory for all to see. I was in the back this morning. I'm listening to these songs, and I'm singing a little bit nervously because I trust the sound people, but my microphone's on, and I got a little, I hope they're not hearing me out there, you know, trying my best to sing along. And I'm back there. I'm just listening. I'm singing, and I'm thinking about what we're doing. Have you ever stopped and wondered what we're doing when we sing? All of creation was created to praise God, but only one piece of creation was given the capacity to sing, and that's us. This week, I was at a restaurant for a birthday in my family, and we sang. Happy birthday to, well, no, it was the Chevy's version, you know. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, happy, 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 happy. It was a lame song, but we sang. It was the craziest thing. I'm sitting there eating my tacos, and all of a sudden, happy birthday, I started singing in public. What was I doing? On another night this week, I was kneeling next to the bed of my granddaughter, and I was singing kind of more in a whisper, kind of a, Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible. And I'm just singing, what are we doing? You know, we come to this place, and we gather here, and we open our mouths. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, our song rise to thee. So what are we doing? We're praising, we're worshiping. Where does that come from? It comes from God. Do you realize that it comes from God? God gave you that capacity. I sometimes think that because there's so much music in our life through the radio and Apple, you know, Apple and all the different ways on our phones, we have music everywhere, and we're just singing, and there's music, and it almost becomes background noise. In fact, we intentionally use music as background noise, and I think we forget sometimes that this strange thing that happens, this thing that I do in a restaurant or next to a bed or with you in a group or in the shower or in the car, and all of a sudden I'm just, this noise is coming out of my mouth. What am I doing? I'm worshiping God, and the capacity to do that was given to me by God. Never forget that. Doesn't matter what you sound like. Doesn't matter if you have a nice voice or a raspy voice or even no voice at all. You sing. We sing, and we want to invest in that. And if we're going to go strong into the storm, we got to be a church. We need to be a group of people that are worshiping God openly, joyfully, passionately. Who cares? You know, I didn't see anybody at Chevy's going, oh, I'm not going to sing because my voice is. All anybody cared about was my son-in-law, Josh. It was his birthday, and we're singing happy birthday, and he's got a goofy hat on his head, a sombrero on his hat, on his head. Nobody cared about what you sounded like. We celebrated his birthday. We will worship, and we will invest in worshiping God in ways that allows other people, everyone, to see who God is. Amen? Amen. Don't forget that when you sing what you're doing. That was given to us by God. Number two, we will walk in the power, love, and sound judgment of the Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7. He has not given us a spirit of timidity. He's not given you as a follower of Jesus the spirit of fear. Do you realize that as a follower of Jesus, it is never okay for you to be afraid? You're not intended to ever be afraid. You say, well, I am afraid. God loves you and his grace is strong towards us. But in heaven, he's like, don't be afraid. We do that to our kids all the time, don't we? No, come on. And our grandkids? One of my grandkids is afraid of our little puppy. What do I do? So don't be afraid. Do I go, oh, it's all right. Be terrified of the dog. That's great. Just grow up scared of dogs. I don't care. I purposely am. Don't be afraid. That's not what I intend. I want you to enjoy this relationship with this puppy. And God is in heaven saying, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. I did not intend for you to live in fear, Joseph. There's no enemy that you need to be afraid of. What I've given you is a spirit of power and love and sound judgment. Now, those things I need to navigate through the world that he's placed me in. Would you agree? I need power. It's a scary world. There are very real enemies, and I need the power of God. It's a hate-filled world. Would you agree? I need the love of Christ to fill me and to flow through me. And it's a confusing, crazy, scary world. I need sound judgment. I need the truth of God. I need the wisdom of God shaping and guiding my decisions. We will walk. We will invest in this. We will equip one another. We will encourage one another. We will invest in walking in power, love, and sound judgment. Investment number three, we will create a culture within our family, this church. We will create a culture, I might say, very, very different from the culture around us. We will create a culture that engages, empowers, equips, and encourages our children and our young people to be passionate followers of Jesus. We will create a culture that is nurturing, a nursery, if you will. No offense, teenagers, don't be offended. A nursery, a safe place where we will engage our children. Not ignore them, not be present, but don't be heard. Say, well, there's kids all over the place. Yeah, engage them, love them, play with them. Jump. Hey, what are you doing? Join their game. Interact with them. We will engage our children. Speak the truth and love to them. We will engage our children and our young people. Don't be afraid of teenagers. I know they're scary. We were all teenagers once, too, and we were scary as well. Just ask your parents if they're still alive, if they survive. Engage the children. Engage the teenagers, the young people. Empower them. Speak the truth of who Jesus says they are. I promise you, those kids that you see in your life and around our church and the teenagers through the rest of the week are getting a different message. A message that says, this is who you really are. This is who you need to be. This is what you need to have. This is how you need to live. When they're here, when they're in the family of God, they need to hear the message of Jesus Christ, that I created you unique. I love you. You are special to me. I made you just the way you are. And I love you. And my plans for you are good. That's empowerment. It's identity. Who does Jesus say these children are? Who does Jesus say these teenagers are? Empower. We will create a culture that empowers them, equips them. Do they need to know the truth? Really? That's the best we can do? Do our children need to know the truth? Do our teenagers need to know the truth? In a world that's filled with lies and deception, people that will destroy them for their own gain, they need to be equipped with the truth of God's word. They need to know who God is, who Jesus is, and his love and commitment to them. And they need to be encouraged. See, that's all intentional. We need to encourage one another. We need to speak truth and love into the lives of our children. How often? Every day. To our teenagers, our young people, every day. When will it end? It won't. Deal with it. It's every day. Don't you need encouragement? I do, every day. We will create a culture that engages, empowers, equips, and encourages our children and youth to be passionate followers of Jesus. Number four, we will raise up leaders who intentionally grow, pursue unity, and produce new leaders. We will raise up leaders. We talked about this last night. We need leaders. And here's the three primary characteristics, I believe, of a godly leader. They intentionally grow. They're investing in their own spiritual growth. They are pursuing unity, because without unity, we got nothing, folks. It all blows up. And they will produce new leaders. In fact, a godly leader, I believe, will see and understand that their primary responsibility is to leave behind them new leaders. Isn't that what Jesus did? I mean, you may look at him and go, what was he thinking? Those 11 that he left behind, really? That's what he had to show for 3 years? But as the book of Acts unfolds, oh, how wrong we were, right? How mistaken we were. We thought, man, Jesus was a terrible leader. He didn't hardly convince anybody. He ended up getting himself killed. Oh, but we know the bigger picture, right? He knew exactly what he was here for, and he did exactly what he came to do. And a part of that was to leave behind this ragtag team of people that were actually leaders of the movement that he intended to begin, the church. Aren't you thankful for that? Yeah. I am. I think I would have fit in with those 11 crazy guys. We will raise up leaders who intentionally grow, pursue unity, and produce new leaders. We will use our small groups, our e-groups, our engage groups, our empower groups, our equipping groups, and our encourage groups to grow the body in these three areas. Unity, there it is again. We need unity to move forward together. Maturity. Boy, we need to grow in Christ. Would you agree? We need to keep growing. How sad it is when our children don't grow in the way that we expect them to, right? Oh, my house. Tuesdays, we watch all of our grandkids. I take Tuesday off, my wife's off Tuesday, so we have all of our grandkids there. And right now we're in the season where the two-year-old grandchild is potty training. Oh, how I want growth. Oh, how I want progress. I'll leave it at that. We want to see growth. We want to see maturity in one another. And we want to be productive for Jesus. Oh, how I want to be fruitful for Jesus. I don't care about anything else. Everything else comes and goes. But the fruit that God produces through his children is the fruit that lasts. And you know what the fruit is, right? Take a look around. This is the fruit. It's people coming to put their faith in Jesus Christ and being discipled for him. We will use our small groups, our e-groups, to do that. We will partner with churches to bring the gospel to our city. Does the city need the gospel? Really? That hasn't changed in 2,000 years? The answer is still the same. Jesus is still the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So you still confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. Do we believe that? The gospel still remains the path that God has provided for us to be right with him. And that's for everybody? That's for California. That's for Sacramento. That's for people of all languages, all skin colors, all backgrounds, all social status. Every country? The whole world. Do we believe that? Do we believe that the gospel is still the answer? We will partner with churches to bring the gospel. Why do we do Momentum with other churches? Why do we do Freedom Celebration with other churches? Why do we do the movies? Why are we planning a trip to go to Ecuador with the church on? Why do we do that? Don't we have enough to do? Yes, we do. But we believe that we need to partner with the churches in our city for one purpose, to bring the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to our city. And, you see what it says there? To bring unity to the church. Because we can never forget that Jesus said twice at the end of John 17 in his prayer to the Father that the unity of the church, he says, this is how they, the world, will know that you sent me. Oh, what was God thinking? What he was thinking is that he connected the unity of his children to the power of the gospel. He did it, not us. He said, this is how the world will know that Jesus is, in fact, who he claims to be. When they look at his children, they look at his followers, they look at his disciples, and there's unity. Now, we haven't always done a great job of that for 2,000 years, have we? Have we? No. Is it too late? No, it's not. Because we've been given our day. And so we will invest in partnering with churches to bring the gospel to our city and unity to the church. It is about the gospel, people understanding who Jesus is. And finally, we will use every part of this campus. As long as God gives us this space, we have these buildings, we have this property. It's all paid off. We don't have any mortgage. This is something God's provided to us. As long as he says you have this, we will use it. We will design it and we will use it to lift up Jesus for all to see. Good, I'm glad we're on board with that. This is a gift from God that he's given us, and we will use it as a tool to lift up Jesus for others to see. Now, these investments don't change when things get difficult. In fact, just the opposite. They're intentional investments so that when things become more difficult, we just keep pouring into, we just keep investing in these seven areas. They become even more critical. We can't back away. That's the message I want us to hear this morning, is we can't stop going when it gets tough. We can't run away from storms. We need to prepare, be ready, invest to run into the storm. You with me? I want to go strong into the storm. I don't want to... Okay. I'm sorry. I so badly want to rip this thing off and jump off the stage. You know, I just... You know, we don't want to... He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound judgment. I want us to be ready because the storms are here. You realize that? The storms are here. Little ones, big ones, in-between ones, in your personal life, in your family, in your workplace, in our community, in our nation, in our world. The storms are here. The enemy is not asleep. We can't be afraid. We need to go strong into the storm. Go strong into the storm. When we look at Acts chapter 21, and I want to draw your attention there, and I apologize to the video team. I said pick it up at verse 4, I think. I'm going to start at verse 1, so just when I get to verse 4, just jump in, okay? Acts chapter 21. We left Paul last week with the elders and the church from Ephesus, the elders, and they were meeting together. And then he gets on a ship, and verse 1 of chapter 21 of Acts. Acts 21, verse 1. After we tore ourselves away from them, that tell you something about that, the emotions of that moment? And set sail, we came by a direct route to Kos. The next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. Finding a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, we boarded and we set sail. After we sighted Cyprus, the island of Cyprus, leaving it on the left as we passed it, we sailed on to Syria and arrived at Tyre, because the ship was to unload its cargo there. So we found some disciples and stayed there 7 days. Through the Spirit, they told Paul not to go to Jerusalem. When our days there were over, we left to continue our journey, while all of them, with their wives and children, escorted us out of the city after kneeling down on the beach to pray. We said goodbye. We said goodbye to one another. Then we boarded the ship, and they returned home. When we completed our voyage from Tyre, we reached Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and stayed with them one day. The next day we left and came to Caesarea, where we entered the house of Philip, the evangelist. Remember him? He was one of the seven. Acts chapter 6, deacons. He was one of the seven, and we stayed with him. This man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. They proclaimed the truth of God. And while we were staying there many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. He came to us. He took Paul's belt. They wore like a robe-type clothing with a belt to hold it all together. He took off Paul's belt. He tied his own feet and hands with Paul's belt. And he said, "This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews in Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into Gentile hands." When we heard this, both we and the local people, the brothers there, the disciples there, they begged him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul replied, "What are you doing? What are you doing weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready. I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Since he would not be persuaded, we stopped talking and simply said, "The Lord's will be done." After these days, we got ready and we went up to Jerusalem. The truth is, Paul knew that he was headed for a storm. He may not have known all the specifics, but the Holy Spirit made it very clear. It's going to be some tough times, and we're going to unfold that. If you've read through the book of Acts, you can read ahead. You won't ruin any of the messages by reading the end of the story, but you can read ahead. You'll see exactly how it unfolds, just as the Holy Spirit would say. Paul knows he's going into a storm, and yet he's going strong into that storm. I want to just point out four things this morning, and they're simple things, but they're so critical to us going strong into the storms, and you see them there on your notes. There's nothing profound about them, nothing you're going to go, "Oh, I've never thought of that before." But here they are in this text, a reminder from God of what it takes to go strong into a storm? Number one, we go into the storm with people. We're not meant to go into the storm alone. If you want to do something, go back to what I just read. I did it in my Bible, and circle how many we's and us and our that are in there. There's a lot of them. And they stop in one city, and they find the brothers. They stop in another city, and they find the disciples. They find the followers of Jesus. And even though Paul's in a hurry to get back for the festival of Pentecost, he stops and he spends time with who? With people. Paul is traveling with a group of people. I'm not sure you'll survive the storms that God leads you through by yourself. In fact, I'll say it a little bit stronger. I'm pretty confident that you won't survive the storms that God will call you to go into to take the witness of the gospel by yourself. You see, the church is another one of those gifts from God. The family of God, the body of Christ, the building, this nation of peculiar people, a nation of priests. These different phrases indicate to us the one another statement, say, hey, you're never alone. I'm with you, but I've also placed you in a family. Go into the storm together. Have you ever noticed that just moving from being by yourself to having one other person makes all the difference in the world? Even if the circumstances haven't changed at all. Now, I'm going to confess something to you, okay? And what's shared here stays in here, unless it's the gospel, which you need to share with everybody. I've had to be alone at night before. For 5 years, my wife did shifts overnight at the hospital, and then there's times when she's been gone, and I'm laying in bed at night, and I don't sleep well by myself, and so I wake up a lot, and every little creaky, cracky noise in the house, it freaks me out. You know, I'm a big stinking chicken. I'm laying there going, ah, you know. So that same thing happens when Becky's laying next to me and we're laying there and I'm looking to see and the same sounds happen. But you know what? I know it's crazy. Because what is she going to do? She's gonna die with me, apparently. But if she's there, then it's like, all right. Isn't that crazy? But I'm not alone. It changes our whole perspective of what we're walking through. Paul displays for us, running into the storm. I'm going through the storm because I'm going to testify to the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, I may die, but I'm willing to die for the name of Jesus Christ. But he's not doing it alone. If we're going to go strong into the storm, we need to go into the storm with people. Some of you know this because we've been guilty of this. When we're struggling spiritually, what's one of the first things that we do? Is we disconnect from our family. We withdraw. No? We stop reading our Bible. We stop talking to God. We stop going to church. We become a fatality of this battle. If we're going to go strong into the storm, we need to go with people. Number two, go into the storm with prayer. Go into the storm with prayer. I love that moment where they're coming out, the whole church comes out. And he's getting ready to get on a boat. Just picture in your mind a boat that's shoved up against the sand, and there's guys getting ready, and they're getting ready to push it back out so they can sail to their next destination. And Paul and his team have paid for passage on that boat, and so they need to get on the boat, and they're going to the next place. And this boat isn't going to wait for Paul, right? I mean, they don't care. They're getting ready to go, and the people say, wait, before you leave. And he says, they just all got down. They just knelt down right there in the sand. And what did they do? They prayed. We don't know what they prayed for, but there could be lots of things they prayed for. The takeaway for us is that they stopped in that moment. As Paul is headed for his next destination on his way into the storm, they took time to pray. There's a movement happening in our church family along the area of prayer. And here's the thing that I'm maybe most excited about. Instead of hearing people say, Brittany says, hey, Kurt, can you, I got this going on. Can you pray for that? And I go, yeah, I'll pray for you. That's kind of been our history, right? That we do that as Christians. And what's happening is I'm hearing people saying, well, Brittany, let's pray right now. Yeah, but we need to, that's okay, let's just pray right now. Can we just pray right now? Can you pray right now? People come into the worship room back here, the prayer room, and before the team comes on, people go, hey, can we just pray with you? Well, yeah, pray for us. No, can we pray with you right now? Someone says, well, I got this medical thing happening. I got to meet with a doctor this week. And, well, can we pray right now? Right now. In the middle of all the mess, let's just stop and pray. Do you realize what that says about us? What it says about his children? What it says about Paul? Is that we know the storm is real. We know we're going into a difficult moment. So what should we do? Well, let's pray. Well, what else should we do? I don't know. I don't know what else to do. But what I do know, am I yelling? Sorry. I'm excited. Let's pray. Let's pray. You want to go strong into the storm? Go into the storm with prayer. Now, don't fall into the false thinking, well, if I get more and more people to pray and we kind of gang up on God, that, you know, no, that's not what it's about. We do that sometimes, right? Come on. Or let's ask the pastor to pray. If he prays, and of course, you know, that is such a, you're so deceived. You know, if we can just kind of manipulate God, that's not prayer at all. Prayer is just, I love that it's in the moment. Let's just kneel down, right? We can pray on the beach? Why not? But we're going to get our knees all dirty. That sand is going to get tracked into the car and mom's going to be, yeah. I don't care. Let's just pray. Right now? Yes, right now. All this noise. I don't care. Just pray. You're in a restaurant, you're at work, you're in the car, you're with friends, family, whatever. You want to go strong into the storm? Go into the storm with prayer. Not wait for a prayer meeting. Not wait to tell other 10 people, then get them to pray for you. You talk to God. Certainly, grab some people around you. Matt, we got this thing coming up this week. Can we pray? Well, I got all the stuff I'm doing, you know? Your credit card got jacked up again. Someone scanned my credit card. I got to spend another 3 hours on the phone with Wells Fargo to try to get it fixed, you know? I know you're busy, but can we just pray? You know what I know Matt would say? Who said no? Somebody said no back there. Matt would he'd say, sorry, Wells Fargo. He'd hang up, and we'd pray. We'd pray. If we're going to go strong into the storm, we need to go with prayer. Paul models it. The church models it for us. Number three, go into the storm with power. Go into the storm with power. What are you talking about, power? Do you see the power that's there that's woven through this narrative here? And he has a name. It is the Spirit of Jesus. He is the Holy Spirit. Do you see the Holy Spirit leading? People say, the Holy Spirit revealed to us that, you know, and it says through the Spirit they came and said, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Now, that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit was saying don't go to Jerusalem, but the Holy Spirit had revealed to them the storm was coming for Paul. And then eventually when they're in that one city, Agabus comes and says, as a prophet, he says, the Holy Spirit has told me. Let me tell you very clearly what the Holy Spirit is saying. When you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound. He takes the belt off of Paul, he ties up himself, and he says, this is what's going to happen to you. The Holy Spirit is very clear, isn't he? The Holy Spirit is not saying don't go to Jerusalem. What he is saying, I believe, is here's what's happening, and I'm with you each step of the way on this journey, and I will be with you in Jerusalem. I believe with all my heart that Paul was absolutely confident of that, that he was going to Jerusalem at the leading of the Holy Spirit, knowing full well what the storm was going to look like, or at least part of it, and he was going to Jerusalem strong into the storm in the power of God. We go without the power of God. We go without the Holy Spirit. We're in big, big trouble. In fact, I wrote a note for me. I'll share it with you, but this was for me. I have nothing without his leading and provision. I cannot do it on my own. And some of you need to hear that. Some of us need to hear that. Because we kind of get caught up in our own abilities, our own sense of accomplishment, our own sense of, you know, I'm a godly man. I'm a strong person. I can handle this. You try to take on the storm in your own strength, you're going to go down. Amen. Because on our own, the enemy can certainly stir up storms that will take us down. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So when I'm in his strength and I'm going with him the direction he's taking me, then I don't have to worry about anything. See, Paul wasn't afraid, was he? Do you see anything there that indicates that Paul was afraid? Knowing what was coming? No, because he knows who he's going with. He's going strong into the storm with the power of God. And fourth, go into the storm with peace. Go into the storm with peace that comes from the Holy Spirit. Listen again to his words in verse 13. Paul replied, what are you doing? What are you doing? This weeping. You're breaking my heart. Why is his heart broken? I believe his heart is broken because these followers of Jesus were not seeing clearly what Paul was seeing clearly until just a few verses later when they finally say, okay, the will of God be done. But he says, I want us to be unified on this. I know what's coming in Jerusalem. In fact, I am ready, prepared. That word ready, I am ready, is literally prepared. I'm prepared. I know what's coming. I know it's a storm, and I'm going to go strong into it. I'm ready, I'm prepared to be tied up, to be arrested, to be thrown in jail. I'm also ready, don't know if this is going to happen, but if it is, I'm ready to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm ready to pay whatever price God asks of me to go to Jerusalem to testify. Now, if you haven't read 21 through 28, read it this week. There's some amazing moments where Paul is going to testify before people in situations that will blow your mind, the opportunity that he's given by the Spirit of God. He's going to testify to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, he will die for it. But he has peace. Do you see it? He's upset that the people are worried about him and they don't get it. But Paul is running into the storm with peace. What an incredible gift from God. I stood there last night in my backyard looking at that tree, and the wind was blowing it, and I did not have peace. I'm looking at that tree, I'm going, man, that tree comes over, it's taken out the back half of my house, and what a mess, and it's an act of God, so is that my insurance, you know? And I'm just, as I'm walking back up the stairs and the dog is following me, I'm going, oh my goodness. And then I lay down in bed, and I'm laying there, and I put the dog in the thing, and I lay in the bed, and I think, what are you doing? What are you doing, Kurt? What are you worrying about this stuff? And I just talked to God for a moment. I said, you know what, this is insignificant in the big scheme of things. But here's what's not insignificant. You give me peace, even in the midst of a storm. And so I can go strong into whatever storm you want me to go into, and I can testify to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because, Father, through your Spirit, you give me peace. Even if it costs me everything, I have peace. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful gift from God? We can run strong into the storm, but it's going to take going with people, going with prayer, going with power, and going with peace. On the back of your notes, as I close this morning, on the back of your notes, you'll see some familiar challenges that we've been talking about, and I will continue to talk about them over the course of this year. I want to encourage you again to commit to being family strong. You see, that's our theme for this year. You see the series we're going to go through as we study God's Word together. There are other pieces of this as well, as we disciple our children and our young people, and we come together as a family to be family strong, so that individually and corporately, collectively, we can run strong into the storm. Would you just agree with me that we need each other? We need each other. We need our marriages. We need our families. We need the body of Christ. Commit to family strong. Be here on Sunday mornings. Be present. Be ready to hear from God. Be present at one another. Present in one another's lives. Register for momentum. This is the church coming together. Stop at the table this morning on your way out if you haven't already registered. You will be encouraged, I promise you. You will be blessed as the different pastors from the area are teaching, and their worship teams, our worship team, different worship teams will be leading us. Communion around the Lord's table together. Being equipped in the breakouts. Coming to understand my part in the body and how God wants me to serve him in the body of Christ. Take that step. It's not too late to join a leadership huddle. They start on February 12th. They're being formed right now. Speak, Lord. Actually, what that probably was is somebody fell in the back. That's not funny. Hope you guys are okay. Come on out. Join a leadership huddle. Mark it on your card this morning. Email me. And then there's a peace plan that we've been talking about. This phrase just has stuck with me this week. Invest your best. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it just has kind of stuck with me. Invest your best in 2017. Don't hold back on God. Amen? Don't hold back on God. Let's run strong into the storm. Let's take the message of Jesus Christ, and let's take it strong. All God's people said? Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me? I hope they're okay. Nobody's coming out, so. You worried about him? It was you? It was you? You want to borrow this wrap here? I'll put this on your leg. Right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Oh, how we just need to drink deeply of your grace. You're so good. You're so faithful. You're so present in our moments. Father, we want to run strong into the storms. If you send a storm into our life, it's clear that you trust us in your strength to go strong into that storm. And so, Father, we want to trust you. We want to run strong into the storm so that we can testify to the name of our precious Savior and our Lord, our King, Jesus. And so, Father, stir in us, work in us through your Spirit, that when we leave this place, and when we're together, and then we leave this place, in both settings, Father, that we would go strong into the storm. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.